Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. Hey, we talk about drafts, prospects, and the future. And Evan, there's been a wonderful development here in town. For a long time, we didn't have, like, these really great young athletes that were coming up and maybe going to be superstars. And conversely, the teams were all struggling. Well, voila, you got a bunch of 24 or younger athletes in this town, and all of a sudden, all the teams are starting to play a lot better. Not a coincidence, I don't think.
No, Pat, you're so correct. And I when you told me that this would be the podcast, I started thinking about who are these young players, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you can go look at any team and pull out a handful of them, and not just young because they're rookies, but young because they're actually producing at that age. And the first one that comes to mind right now is Jahmyr Gibbs. And that might be because the season is happening, but this young man has taken the city by storm, whether it's, you know, jumping into the fans' arms last year or throwing footballs into the stands and hitting them in the face or whatever it might be. I just look at him and I'm like, this kid is so darn exciting, and it's so much fun to watch.
Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell, Jahmyr Gibbs is only 22 years old.
I know.
Jameson Williams, Jack Campbell. These are all Brian Branch.
Terrion Arnold.
I think Joseph's still 24 younger, but I have to double check on him. These are all 24 younger players. And that's the Lions' future right
there.
He is
24, by the way. Kirby Joseph. So
I mean, all these guys are like, they're on 24 younger. I mean, think about that. So when you're thinking of the Lions' future, it's like, hey, man, there's nothing but, you know, good times ahead, it appears.
Jeez, I mean, talk about a locker room full of future 100 millionaires, huh?
Yeah, well, already some of them have gotten paid. It's Caleb McNeil, 24. I forgot to look up his age.
Look real quick, because he probably is. He's only been in the league. He's 24. He doesn't turn 25 until May.
All these guys are 24 and younger. So think about that. Branch, Joseph, Campbell, St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta is 24 younger. So, I mean, just think about that. All those guys, Penei Sewell, I mean, that is really, if that isn't a formula for a powerhouse or a dynasty, I don't know what is. So that's just the Lions. All right. Now the Pistons, Cade is under 24. He's 23 years old. You've got somebody who's, when you're looking at Jaden Ivey, he's 22. Duren is only 21. He doesn't turn 22 until next November. All right. So you're talking about under 24 there. Ron Howland's 19. Azir Thompson's 21. So you look at those five players and tell me the Pistons don't have a bright future.
Well, yeah, especially after seeing them get back to 500, which, I mean, let's be honest, we didn't really expect that to happen in J.B. Bickerstaff's first year. But really? These young – I mean, not as quick as it happened. I don't know.
I know. I didn't think so. I'm being facetious. Look, Evan, this is a fact that I looked up. The Pistons get to 18 wins after 36 games. And after 36 games, the last 3 years combined, if you took all of them, they won 18 games.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
They were 18 and 88 over those 3 years in their first 36 games. So this is a dramatic turnaround. And Cade Cunningham, look, dude, when you're going for 24 a game and you're second or third in the league in assists, you routinely put up triple doubles. And, you just lately here, he's taken another step into another realm. He looks like a 1-1 pick, and it looks like they're going to do well. And they've got nothing but youth there. Now, obviously, the veterans they picked up, Harris, Hardaway, Beasley, have really helped them in that regard. But, the youth of that team is undeniable. The Pistons didn't have this for a long time. They were all like Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard. And, Andre Drummond was a bust. I mean, geez, oh, Pete.
Well, hell, even when they won in 2004, that was a made team. That wasn't a drafted team other than Tayshaun Prince. And
yeah,
he was drafted
at like 23.
Yeah, and I was like so super critical of Cade Cunningham the last couple years. I mean, at 1-1, I expect just greatness. And Pat, he's so proven me wrong, because that's exactly what he's been showing us is greatness. Because anything that I criticized was maybe he couldn't take it to the rack is tough, and he's doing it every single game now, taking it to the rack tough, getting contact, getting and ones, finishing at the rack. I was critical of his turnovers late in games, and it seems like he has learned from those mistakes, which the greats really do. They don't make those mistakes over and over and over again. And boy, that kid, he might be all NBA this year. And I didn't see that coming, and I have egg on my face for saying that, but I don't care, because I wanted to be wrong with Cade Cunningham. And he seems like – I used to compare him to Grant Hill, but he's going to surpass what Grant did with the Pistons, because Grant was traded and he didn't win anything. I think the Pistons can win with this core and Cade Cunningham. So that is very excited. And we've only talked about two of the teams, and the other teams are loaded as well.
Yeah, the other ones are the Red Wings that I'll talk about. You like the term Iser plan because you listen to a lot of sports talk radio. The Iser plan thing is kind of dumb, I think, but whatever, man.
It's a good play on words.
Yeah, it is. But there's two parts to it. One is what the team is, right now, and they should be a playoff contender, and they put some money into it. They're not a young team. They're above the average age of a team, 29.2 compared to 28.6 is the average age of an NHL player. So, that part. But in terms of the future, one of the things that I think is just glaringly lacking is a lack of knowledge of how hockey works. And to get a player like Lucas Raymond at fourth overall and Barid Sider at sixth overall, and Simon Edvinson at sixth overall, you're looking at Sider's 24, Raymond is 23, and you have 22. He'll turn 23 soon, and then you have Edvinson at 21. That is incredible development rapidly, that's like those guys. They could have been 1-1s, and you would be happy with them. That's how good they are in their age group. So they have that core right there. And on top of it, they've got a lot of prospects in their pipeline. People saw Axel Sedin Polaka at the World Juniors. He dominated again. He's the best, arguably the best Russian defenseman in the Swedish Hockey League, and he should be an NHL star, to be honest with you. I know some people, but I think he potentially is. And of course, they got Kosa. And, those guys, and I don't know about Marco Kasper long-term yet. I think Nate Danielson is another question mark simply because they're so young. But the Red Wings got a lot of youth and players that are going to be really good in their pipeline, and as well as, on their parent club already contributing significantly. So they're in good shape that way. So the Red Wings are, and the Tigers. I don't think people realize with the Tigers that Riley Green is 24 years old. All right, he's just 24. I don't think people give, for some reason, they're like, well, the Tigers really have a star. Yeah, they do. It's Riley Green. He's a potential MVP. He's going to get bigger, stronger. He's just going to get better. And when you're already in the top dozen or so position players in the game at 24 years old, your upside is tremendous. So we haven't seen remotely what Riley Green can do. And on top of that, you have a situation where Cole Keith is young. Jackson Jobe is young. Keith's 23, Jobe's 22. You're looking at a situation where you got your Max Clark. You've got Kevin McGonigal. You've got these two kids, Brasino and Lorenzo. Their minor league system is loaded with top end type prospects, and it's not a coincidence that the Tigers moved up when they decided to move on from veteran players. You served them well. We didn't mention Parker Meadows. He's a graybeard, Evan. He's 25, so he wasn't listed in there. But that's not a potential star. I don't know anything about baseball.
Yeah, no, that's the guy that can cover the field. He can hit, and he really showed that he could hit after he went down to the minors. And when you talk about Riley Green, that's a guy that, like, I was wondering, would his power, like, translate to Major League Baseball? And last year, boy, did it ever. Like, the kid was hitting moonshots. He was hitting live drive home runs. He can do it all. And I look at the kid, and I'm like, you know what? He is somebody that I think is going to be in a Detroit Tigers uniform for a very long, long time to come, and that makes me happy as a Tigers fan.
Yeah, he's not even close to arbitration really that much here. You know, they would be wise to sign him to one of those long-term deals. I would think that would behoove them to do that if he was interested in that. And the key for the Tigers, and I know people are constantly lament and we debate about it, but my point about it is if they start losing guys that they can possibly retain, then it's a problem. And I'm not talking about Scooble. Scooble's an X factor here now. When you win the Cy Young Award and Scott Boras is your agent, you know, I'm not sitting there going, hey, you got to re-sign him at any cost. But they should be making a run to re-sign him. But if they don't, a lot of that I put on, you know, what the agent's doing. And I'm not saying in a bad way. Scott Boras is trying to do what he can do that's best for him. And Scooble made the decision to go with that particular agent. And there's a risk there because he could be like, get that big contract and the Yankees want him and the Dodgers want him. But if they're not on the list for those teams, a lot of times those players end up turning down, like Bregman, $156 million for 5 years. And then it's like, well, you're asking for 7 years and $200 million. Nobody's remotely going to give you that. And those teams have already decided not to sign him. So that's kind of where Scooble will be when it comes down to it, assuming he pitches really well. Now, me, if I was Scooble, I would take like $40 million a year for a couple years here. And then you get your money up front. Then you got interest and investment and everything. Getting your money right away, you can turn whatever you're getting into. And if you invest it wisely, you get a lot more rather than waiting it out to the last minute and playing that game of Russian roulette in a negotiating sense.
Yeah,
but
really.
That's just my opinion.
it is a gift and a curse to win the Cy Young in the year that he did, because you're right. Like, he's not making the money like a Cy Young award winner should. And it, it is interesting. And Scott Boras, what he does is look for the most money at any given time. And
yeah, but
I'm sure
he does.
You've talked to him.
He does it at the right. He does it at the in a way that's his game plan. That's his strategy. I'm not always sure it's the best. Now, if I were a team, I would try to avoid that, getting involved with him on that. I would. I think a lot of teams have. You know, they don't need a glowing brochure on a player anymore. You know, to tell them they know all about the player analytically and everywhere, and owners aren't necessarily buying into that. And once in a while, you get a get somebody like Cohen and everything. But if you negotiate a big contract for Juan Soto, who cares? You and right. I can negotiate a big contract for Juan Soto.
Yeah, and I look at it too. I know one owner that did like Scott Boras, and that was Mike Ilitch. He seemed to sign all of his guys. Yeah,
he did for a while, like a lot. He bought into it, but at the end, he tired of it with Max Scherzer.
Yes, no, absolutely. With that note, I'll never forget that ever. And that right there, I was like, he's not going to resign him at all based on pride, based on everything.
Well, he looked at it and said, you know, and Ilitch was fortunate because they weren't going to sign Prince Fielder. And I know that because I heard it from about as good a source as you could possibly hear it from. Gee, I wonder who that was. And then 2 weeks later, they signed him. And it was like, whoa, hey. You know, what is this? And then Mike Ilitch gets up there and goes, he knows more about our team than I do. And Boras was there up at the dais when they were signing Prince. Same thing happened with Johnny Damon. But and Ilitch was fortunate to get out of that because Dombrowski was able to trade Prince. The Tigers had to eat some of the money for a long time, but they were fortunate to do it for Ian Kinzer, who was a hell of a player for him.
Yeah, so no, you're right. It's always funny with Scott Boras, man. That guy can command a room.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah, he does. Like I said, he belongs in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned.
But oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's good or bad or, you know, whatever. I just know if I were a team, I would, I know what that's all about. And he's great at leaking stuff to the media and all that and plays the game the way it needs to be done. So, but anyway, enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget to like us, Google Play Store. Hey, Apple iTunes Store. I know Evan always tells me, hey, Pat, I love the Apple iTunes Store. Odyssey.com. Check us out. Pat Caputo 98 on X. Gentman Jenkins is Evan on X. And, of course, the 97 won the ticket X and Facebook pages. Till next time, we'll talk to you.